to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 130 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the professor, Brandon Crowd. In wrestling, they call it the go-home show before the big event. Well, this is the go-home show before the big MIS bonus show coming up here in just a couple days. Oh, man. Let's see. I hope everyone had a great weekend. Saturday, we were supposed to have a little barbecue. But some nasty storms blew in late afternoon, putting a damper on the Saturday barbecue. So we moved it to Sunday, which worked out awesome. Perfect weather Sunday. Brought out the TV for the race. Played a little cornhole. Grilled up some burgers, some corn. Fun times had by all. Kicked back this weekend a little bit in anticipation because it's finally here, folks. It is MIS race weekend, which means a boatload of extra content from the Lap Traffic Podcast. If you missed last week, two shows as well, I highly recommend going and checking them out. Last week on Tuesday, NASCAR Chasm literally brought me to tears. I was laughing so hard, along with the return of the MOATF Podcast for some fantasy picks. That was fun. And then Thursday, posted a bonus show with Alex Bowman and Christopher Bell, all compliments of MIS. Man, I cannot wait to get out to the track Thursday night, meeting up with the Yunker Motorsports at the site. PETM will be in there Friday afternoon. And who knows? I might even be making a little appearance on their show tonight. I just don't know. And can't wait to do this bonus show. It's going to be a great time. Huge lineup, all confirmed. Stay tuned to social media to see who is going to be on the bonus show on Friday. And of course, if you're going to be there at the track on Sunday, come to the tweet up and say hi for sure. Cannot wait to see everybody. Cannot wait to get out to the track. I can't say it enough. All right. Lap Traffic Podcast is, of course, a part of the Big Heads Media Network. Big Heads Media has you covered from sports to entertainment. Go check out bigheadsmedia.com. And huge show lined up for you guys today. Mr. Jeff Striegel from MRN is going to be on to talk some NASCAR and this past weekend at Pocono. And to switch things up a little bit, I'm going to switch up the race talk perspective. We're going to do Cup first, and then I will talk Xfinity from Pocono. I got your social media shout-outs. Brian Newdorf has the weather for Michigan. Got your lucky dog, lap down picks, and fantasy with a very special guest. Can't wait for that. All right, let's get this go-home show to MIS on the road. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, making his fourth appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. You can hear him calling the race on MRN Radio, Michigan's own Jeff Striegel. Sir, welcome back, man. How are you?
I'm well. Has it been that many times already?
It has, yes. Yeah, you are climbing up. You're climbing up the board. That is for sure. You are... You're just under NASCAR Chasm and Cole Custer with five appearances each.
Well, we've got this one right now, yes. And then we're going to add another one next week. So, I'm moving up the leaderboard in a hurry. I'm looking forward to it, Brandon. Excellent. How you been, man?
I'm awesome. So excited to get out to MIS. Just tweeted out literally minutes ago, I had some artwork done. I've got some awesome t-shirt designs coming out here in a couple weeks, which I'm pumped about, and can't wait to go do some bonus shows at the track this weekend. From a hobby standpoint, life is good. How are you?
I'm well, and I understand that. I heard you from the hobby standpoint. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all got paid for our passion?
Oh, man.
And you know what? I do get a little bit of that. I'm not going to kid anybody. My passion is certainly auto racing, and yes, I do get paid for it, but we've all got hobbies. I mean, I've got, race cars that race, and you've got this, and all of these wonderful things that involve auto racing, and hopefully people can respect it. And the thing that I was noticing is how much you guys have grown. You got to be so proud of that, Brandon, with what you guys are doing and the way that you have grown. This is just, it's worthy of acknowledgement and congratulations. So, I don't know what you're doing, but keep it up. But I actually do know what you're doing. And that is you're working hard. You're passionate about what you do. And it really does show in the amount of support that you get.
Oh, Jeff, man, I got goosebumps from that. Thank you from the bottom of my heart so much for that. It means the world. It's work, but it's not work because it's I come home from the real job and I get to spend time talking to awesome people like you and others within the sport. And man, it's breathtaking, to be honest, man. To the following and the support and. Like you said, it's crazy how this thing has grown. So I appreciate that very much, man. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do see the shirt. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, the blue and yellow is zero.
Yes.
So yeah, it all looks good, man.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, Jeff. Let's dive in. We'll get to the actual racing at Pocono here in a little bit. Let's talk a little general NASCAR talk about Pocono next year. The Pocono Double. Anything specific you like or do not like about this, so to speak, test?
There is nothing that I don't like about it. I really like, love, embrace everything that they're doing there. You know, we didn't have a water cooler talk race coming out of Pocono. You know, we're not all gathered around going, oh, my gosh, that was the greatest race we ever saw. All right, we all get that.
Sure.
You know, and when we get on social media and we see that, you know, geez, we should just dump this track. We shouldn't be racing there. You know, that's pretty strong. We've been racing there. I think that was the 83rd race that we've had at Pocono. And I would certainly hate to see the great fans in and around the Pennsylvania, New York, some Canadians come down for that. I'd hate to see us lose that race, and we're not going to. And I think what NASCAR is doing now is really making it, taking it from where it is today, wherever that happens to be on your radar, and just making it that much better. The opportunity, and from what I understand and talking to Nick and his team over at Pocono, the interest is overwhelming. And I think we're going to see a great crowd. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with a two-day show. I've heard some rumors on how they may be doing it, and I don't know that, you know, now is the time to really divulge that because it is nothing more than a rumor. But, you know, a race on Saturday, run a race on Sunday. I heard, you know, Nick say that he's not going to raise ticket prices or do anything like that. So I really like and can certainly embrace everything they're doing with that one-day doubleheader or one-weekend doubleheader.
And so I could not agree with you more. So I'm going to put it into, you know, and I've said this a couple times on the show, so I apologize for the repetitiveness. But so, you know, as a fan – and not getting to do this, as we talked, from a paying standpoint, any race I go to, it's out of pocket expense for me. So the races I go to are from a limited perspective and from ones that, you know, you want to hit the bucket list tracks, right? Martinsville, Bristol, all that kind of stuff. Pocono, right, prior to the race schedule for 2020 coming out, wasn't even on the radar. But guess where I'm going next year?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so that's... It shot it up. I mean, like you said, it the fanfare, the excitement, the fact that if they don't raise ticket prices and you don't go to that race, you're doubling your entertainment value. I mean, there's so much positivity to come about this, and I think they picked the perfect track to do this at. You know, there's a lot of talk around, you know, some of the mile and a halfs and the 2 mile tracks that have two races on the circuit. Michigan could be one of those that, you know, that could be thrown in the mix of, you know, from an attendance standpoint and sometimes a racing standpoint of why are there two races there. I think they picked the perfect track to test this at. I think they nailed it 100% on it.
I will agree with you 100% on that. I'm excited about it. I'm anxious to see. You know, the way that I look at things first and foremost, Brandon, is I look at it as though I am going there with my family, with a tent or a camper, or maybe I'm just driving over and I'm going to stay in a hotel. But my point is I look at it from a race fan standpoint. And I think, and let's face it, there's a lot of good race fans that support Pocono and that entire area. And I think that I think they're going to turn out.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Absolutely.
You bet. I think if you're planning on getting a ticket to the Pocono doubleheader, you better get them when they go on sale. And, you know, I hope I'm not disappointed, you know, come a year from now, we go, boy, there was a lot of empty seats. I really don't think that's going to be the case. I think they're going to fill the infield and the campgrounds with campers, and I think they're going to fill the grandstands with a lot of happy NASCAR fans.
I agree. I don't like doing the speculation too much, but just to have a little fun with it here, let's say this is the success that we think it's going to be. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk in terms of, do we need a 600-mile race? Do we need to go to all these races? Do we need 36 weekends spreading from February to November? Of the tracks we hit twice a year, could we maybe see 36 races but at a condensed rate and maybe run the schedule from March to October, March to late September, something like that?
Yeah, I think absolutely we could. And I don't even know that it is an assumption or speculation. I think that we're closer to that today than we've ever been. I think NASCAR kind of surprise everybody when they released their new schedule for 2020. And aren't we all kind of waiting now to see what that 2021 schedule is going to look like? Because, you know, all of the agreements at that point are going to be up,
yep.
Meaning that NASCAR can change the schedule if they so desire. I mean, obviously, you have NASCAR and ISC going through their purchasing transition, how that will play. There's a lot of cards. You know, I always like to look at it this way, Brandon, and I do this a lot. I will say that there are a lot of puzzle pieces on the table. And when they all come together, we may be surprised at what we see. And it may take longer to put the puzzle pieces in place than what maybe some of us want. Maybe we want quicker action.
Sure.
But I'll tell you that, you know, you've heard it. We may be someplace racing on a Wednesday night in 2021.
I would love that. I think that would be fantastic.
And I think the way that I hear it, and again, this is speculation. This is rumor. This isn't fact. We could be racing, as an example, at Michigan on a Sunday. Load up, head to a track. Let's leave that, you know, let's leave the name off of it.
Sure.
Head to a track and run a one-day show on a Wednesday, pack up and move on to, let's say, Chicagoland and run there that same, you know, that weekend. So we're going to race one weekend, then a Wednesday, then the following weekend. And that's three races in a grand total of about 8 or 9 days. So I think what we're going to see down the line is going to look dramatically different than what we have all grown up with. And I think it's the right kind of change that our sport needs, not only today, but into the future as well.
Absolutely. I could not be more excited for some of the potentials with our sport. I'm very excited for the future. And I look forward to it. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk Chevy for a minute. Last week at Charlotte, all four HMS in the top 10, along with Chris Buescher. You had five Chevys in the top 10 at Kansas, four in the top 10 at Dover, six in the top 10 at Talladega. This week, Pocono, Chevy struggled a little bit. But they did start five inside the top 10, but at the end of the day, only finished with two. What's your take on Chevy and their improved performance as of late?
Well, they're finally rolling in the same direction as everybody else. I'm not going to sit here and go, Chevy is back. I'd love to. I would love to have been able to take exactly what you just said there and go, yeah, isn't it amazing? Chevy is back. All right. Well, I don't think, and you know what? I don't think it's Chevy that we need to make sure that we separate the word Chevrolet from the teams that drive Chevrolets. And here's the reason why. Chevrolet hasn't forgotten how to build parts and pieces and help G That hasn't changed. They're no different than Ford or Toyota.
Sure.
I think what we really have to do is we have to get the magnifying glass out. And we have to look at Chip Ganassi and their team. I think we have to look at Rick Hendrick and their team. I think we have to look at, you know, Richard Childress and his team. You know, and here's the best way, I think, to put that into understandable terms, I guess, for lack of, you know, better. We look at, let's compare Team Penske and SHR right now. Did Ford just suddenly stop supporting Stewart Haas Racing? I mean, they were so dominant last year. Why in the world could they possibly have fallen on hard times? We don't say it's a Ford issue. We say it's they haven't found the right setup and the right package, the right combination to the new package, right?
Absolutely.
Why aren't we saying that about the Chevrolet teams? Brandon, it's always been something that's been kind of confusing to me, because when the Chevrolet teams are down, we just say, what's wrong with Chevy? Well, nothing's wrong with Chevy. What's wrong with the teams that are driving the Chevys? And I think that we can now begin to twist that a little bit and say they are rowing in the right direction. They are making strides. They are coming back. I don't think it will be too long before we are talking about a different Chevrolet driver other than Chase Elliott going to victory lane. That could happen at Michigan. So that's my opinion. That's my thought on it. Brandon, what do you think?
So, you know, I've when I look at the stats, and, you know, I think when you talk from a manufacturer perspective, you could make the argument that Chevy, if you want to put a label on it, is back. If you look at what they're doing over a super speedway, a mile track, and a couple mile and a half tracks, they've been performing. But to say something's back, I think you need to have a little bit more of a stamp of approval on that, if you will. And Chase's win was awesome. You got Alex Bowman with 3 second place finishes in a row. That's awesome. I think you need at least one more win, you know, maybe in a different season, different time, if wins are spread out a little bit differently throughout some of the teams and manufacturers, you might be able to make that assertion right now. But I think with the dominance of Joe Gibbs Racing and with Penske, I don't think one win and a couple top tens is enough. I think it's definitely, like you mentioned, you know, they're rolling in the right direction. You got guys like Chris Buescher, who's knocked out some top 15s, which, you know, when you have to, you got to take into perspective the team and look at what's a reality for that team. And to say Chris Buescher's got 3 top 15s in a Chevy, that's an impressive thing. That leads me to believe that they're rolling in the right direction if a team like that is knocking off top 15. So I think they need one or two more wins, and then I'll be very confident to say that.
And I agree with that, and I'm going to add to that. I think it even takes more than a win or two. You know, I guess it depends on how much time we're covering with that.
Sure.
If we're talking a win or two over the course of the season, then obviously I think we both would agree, no, they're not back.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the thing that they have been missing is consistency. Now, we've seen Bowman knock out the 3 runner-up finishes in a row. We saw Chase Elliott go to victory lane at Talladega. All of that is great, but they're not doing Kevin Harvick kind of things, Joey Logano kind of things, Kyle Busch kind of things. In other words, you know, we just don't have a driver representing the Chevrolet camp that is running consistently at the front of the field and has a teammate or two going along with it. So they're close. They're not back yet. I think that they will be before the end of the season, just simply from the standpoint that all you have to do is look at that pendulum and see the direction that it's going. And it leads us to believe that all they've got to do is keep doing what they're doing, and sooner or later they will be in victory lane, and they will be another dominant force like they've been for years and years.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing that. You know, if memory serves correctly, there was not a Chevy in the Final 4 at Homestead. And You know, I know there's been, just to kind of throw an analogy towards Big Ten or not Big Ten, but college football in general, should there be a representative from each of the top conferences represented in the college football playoffs? Arguments could go either way there, not to see all of the manufacturers having at least one car in there. Like, that had to sting for Chevy that they didn't have someone in the Final Four at Homestead. So.
Oh, man, you know it. Absolutely. And they don't want to do it again.
Right. You mentioned Kevin Harvick a little bit ago. Stuart Haas, if you and I were to have talked at in the offseason and throw some bets down on who didn't have a win halfway through the regular season, I would have lost some money because it would not have been Kevin Harvick and Stuart Haas Racing. All four drivers shown some speed. All four drivers in victory lane last year, and here we are halfway through the regular season, and as a team, they are winless. I am stunned.
Shocked. I agree. And here's the thing. How do we explain to people that might be listening saying, okay, so tell us, we get it that they're winless. Why are they winless? Well, obviously, if we knew, then they would know. And if they knew, they would fix it. But, here's the deal. You look at Kevin Harvick and you say, okay, well, when did he go to victory lane last? You got to go back to last year at Texas. And we are now 16 races into a winless streak for the driver that was so dominant a year ago. And I think we can even go bigger than this. I think we can say, because your point was Harvick winless, Stuart Haas winless. I think we got to look at that entire organization because if I'm not mistaken, Clint Bowyer won at Michigan, and that would have been his second win of the year at that point. So Clint would have had two wins at this particular point. Harvick had five, and I'm trying to think if they didn't already have one more.
I think Clint had, or I think Kurt Busch had the win. I think Eric's came a little later in the season.
Yeah. So, here's an organization that at this point going, a week into June had already racked up, eight wins, and now they have none. I think the big difference that I see, and we were actually having a great debate on this during our practice show that we had at Pocono, and that was who is the number three organization in the garage area right now. We get the fact that number one, hands down, this is, everybody can speculate and debate this. I'm not a fact, it's just an opinion.
Sure.
But number one would be Joe Gibbs. Number two is Team Penske. All right, now, who is number three? Is it SHR or is it Hendrick Motorsports? And we were commenting that the knee-jerk reaction would be, well, it has to be SHR, doesn't it? Well, if you actually go back and look at the stats from beginning of the year to today, believe it or not, Hendrick Motorsports has every bit as good a stats as what SHR does. In fact, in some cases, they have quite a bit better stats than what SHR has. But SHR gets all the headlines, and only thing that we ever talk about as media is what's wrong with the Chevrolets, what's wrong with, Hendrick Motorsports. Well, I'm telling you that camp over there may be the third best organization in the garage, moving Stuart Haas Racing to number four. It's a great debate to have.
Absolutely.
And there's certainly no clear winner, but going back to your original point, what the heck is going on with that team that was so good last year, still very, very good, but like we were just talking about with Chevys, until you're winning on a consistent week in and week out basis, we're going to have conversations like we're having right now about a team or an organization.
Well, I agree 100%. Joe Gibbs Racing, number one organization. When I break that down driver by driver, and I try to make a comparison maybe to SHR, obviously Kyle Busch dominating, Martin Truex Jr. doing what he does. Eric Jones, maybe the outlier. I put Eric Jones as the Eric Almirola of Joe Gibbs Racing, if that's a fair analogy. And then I look at Denny Hamlin. And Denny Hamlin, two wins on the year, but if I look at Denny Hamlin, I would say he's struggling this season. You know, the win at Daytona, restrictor plate, hey, it's a win in the record books as far as anyone else is concerned. But again, restrictor plate race, you know, he's got the other win. You know, so from that side of things, it's the Kyle Busch and the Joe Gibbs Racing show and Martin Truex Jr. And I look at Stuart Haas Racing and I look at Kevin Harvick. That team, they've probably thrown two away, one from beating themselves, one or two maybe from mechanical issues. So there's this, you know, we can what if all day when we're talking about racing, you know, so there's a chance they might have one or two. But the fact is they don't, and they need to go and get them.
No doubt. And I think I liked your point about Denny Hamlin. We can circle back on that. Man, you take a look at the way Denny started the year, not only with the win in the Daytona 500, and then he gets the win, I guess it was week number 7 at Texas. But in between there were top 5 finishes. And all of a sudden, we get to Richmond, and he has a solid top 5 run. And you know what? I'm impressed with Denny. I mean, just Denny is running the way I always thought Denny would and should run. And then we get to Talladega. He goes 36th. We go to Dover. He goes 21st, 16th at Kansas, 17th at Charlotte, 6th a week ago at Pocono. My point there is, what in the heck has happened to Denny Hamlin over the course of the last 5 or 6 races? So you're right. When you look at an organization, typically you're going to have success with that one or two individuals. Erik Jones has just got to get a win here sooner or later. He has to. You know, when you talk about drivers that must win, Jimmy Johnson is not in a must-win situation.
No.
If he never wins again, nobody's going to care. We're all going to stand up and give him a standing ovation when he's done. He doesn't have to win. If you're Erik Jones, you better win, and you better win sooner than later. And I really think that the same thing is true with Denny Hamlin when you're driving for Joe Gibbs Racing.
They got some competition moving up. That's for sure. That is for sure. All right, sir. Let's switch over. Let's talk a little bit about the racing this past weekend at Pocono. It was a race dominated by Kyle Larson dominating the first half, picking up the first two stages, and Kyle Busch picking up the race win there. You know, we talked about the struggles of SHR, but there are also some struggles with Chip Ganassi Racing. First year new team with Kurt Busch, but Kurt's going out there and doing what Kurt Busch does, which is quietly pick up top tens. He's already got 8, but Kyle Larson, only 4 top tens in 7 and 7 finishes outside of the top 15.
Yeah, where do you want to start there? You know, I don't know really what to say, you know, when it comes to Kyle. I have all the respect in the world for that individual's talent behind the wheel. And I look at that organization, I look at that race team, I look at early on the number of mistakes that were made by the 42 team, whether it was the guy in the seat or the people that were servicing that car, then they, you know, realistically at this level, they were inexcusable. They had multiple mistakes at Daytona. Kyle was busted for speeding at Atlanta. They had too many men over the wall in Las Vegas. That's 3 for 3 to start the season.
Right.
They didn't have an issue. If you remember, they had the issue in qualifying at Phoenix when they waited and didn't go. And so they ended up having to start at the tail, got a bad pit selection at Phoenix. It's just one thing after another after another. And here's what I'm going to repeat what I just said. At this level, those kind of mistakes are just inexcusable. You leave that to the Truck Series or the ARCA Series or maybe even the Xfinity Series, but you don't bring that kind of game to a Sunday afternoon at whatever track you happen to be at. And we had the same thing happen at Pocono, didn't we? You know, he wins stage one, he wins stage two, and then he drives it in the fence and shows over. He finished 26th, I believe it was. So, you know, at some point, and this is what I don't get, Brandon, and you know, you weigh in on this. This is a kid that we know has as much talent as a race car driver as anybody in the country. I think you would probably put him, you know, somewhere in the top five. If that's the case and you believe that, then why does this driver only have five career wins? And that's what has me baffled.
You know, I watched Kyle Larson drive from the back to the front and win a dirt truck race at Eldora, which was amazing to watch. I watched him dominate three wins at Michigan in a row, you know, short dirt track race into a big 2 mile speedway at MIS. I mean, there's a lot of ground to cover in between, and he's won at all levels in that regard. I wonder at some point, you know, just like baseball, you know, Miguel Cabrera has said that baseball at 100 miles an hour has looked like a beach ball, and other times he can't even see it. I wonder at some point, is it just a mental game to where you just got to stop? You got to stop beating your own self up.
Maybe, you know, a win. You'd like to say a win would cure everything. But then again, he has had those wins and they haven't cured everything. To your point, you know, it looked like he was, you know, we were going to rename Michigan International Speedway to Kyle Larson International Speedway. In 16, the August race in 16 and both of them in 17, he won. And since that point, the two races since, he's gone 28th and 17th. Non-factors yep. in either of those two races. I don't know. You know, we can put a bow on this one with just a simple thing. That if I'm allowed to go back and use the puzzle pieces, I think the 1,000-piece puzzle has been dumped upside down on the kitchen table, and they're just sitting there trying to figure out how to put the thing together. When they do, we know the entire organization is capable of winning. But why they don't and why they're having the kind of struggles they have on a what seems like regular basis is just has me scratching my head. I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to steal a line out of my wife's book here. We're going to put a pin in two things here because you're going to be back Tuesday. So we are going to talk and we're going to talk Kyle Larson Tuesday and see if he made some noise for us at MIS since he dominated. And we're going to put a pin in Kevin Harvick, too, and Clint Bowyer, our two most recent winners at MIS, and let's see what these three do this weekend here. And speaking of MIS, we are headed to MIS. It's a special weekend for me. I know it's special to you. What makes, just outside of the job, MRN, all that stuff, what makes MIS weekend special for you?
Relationships. You know, I've been going there for a long, long time, and I have a wonderful relationship with most of the staff there at MIS. I'm going to say this and be fun when I say it. I have a wonderful relationship with many, many, many of the fans that are there. I enjoy being in the Michigan infield, a place that you will be headed for the very first time when you get there. Have fun with that.
Thank you.
You know, over the years, you know, Moody and I, Dave Moody, host of Sirius Speedway
yes.
and MRN, we will get on the golf cart and we will head into the infield on a Friday afternoon into a Friday night, maybe a Saturday afternoon into a Saturday night. And, you know, let's face it, people are loyal, you know, so the same people that have been coming to Michigan for 20 years have that same camp spot.
Yes.
And we've gotten to know those people. And the bands that play in the infield, we have gotten to know them. And so when you look at why I have so much excitement about going to Michigan, it's just simply because I'm looking forward to seeing people that I only get a chance to see twice a year, whether that be the staff at Michigan or some of the fans that, you know, pay a lot of money to be able to be there and sit in the grandstands or watch from the infield. So for me, it's simple. I got a lot of friends there, and I'm looking forward to seeing them all.
Awesome. I love that. Do you get to venture out into the Irish Hills, Brooklyn area to restaurants, bars, anything like that when the workday's over?
Well, I think, you know, if anybody that follows me on Twitter, they know that we play a lot of Golden Tee golf. So,
Jeff, if we weren't best friends before, we are best friends now, because I live and breathe and probably play about 5 to 10 rounds of Golden Tee golf a week.
Let's play. Let's plan on teeing it up. Yeah, we play every weekend on the road. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. We have our little game finder, and you know that, I'll tell you what if you didn't ask me this, but I'm going to give you an answer on it. How do we travel week in and week out and stay sane?
Yes.
That's one of the reasons. Mike Bagley, Alex Hayden, our producer, Ryan Horn, Dylan Welch, Tyler Burnett, a producer. A lot of us play Golden Tee golf. And
I
so
love it.
We are already figuring out where we're going to play on Thursday night when half of us arrive, or Friday night after we get done with pole qualifying here or there, wherever it might be. And so, you know, we get a chance to go to certain little establishments along the way, whether that be in Pocono or Kansas or Michigan, or even down at, you know, when we're racing down at Homestead. So it's just something that we enjoy, keeps us all out of trouble, and we can laugh and have a good time. And so that was a long answer. Yes, I will. We stay in and around the Jackson area, and, you know, everybody from the team will be out having dinner or
Clavon's, you know, pizza, man. Clavon's.
There you go. There you go.
Love it. Jeff, you've got an awesome charity, Racing Awareness. Before you head out, tell everyone a little bit what's new and what's going on with Racing Awareness.
Well, Racing Awareness is something that I actually developed after having some work with Michigan International Speedway. We brought, if people, some of our loyal fans may remember the GFS Marketplace 400.
Absolutely.
Gordon Food Service. They sponsored a race in Michigan back in 04, 5, 6, and 7. And I was asked at the time to run that for Gordon's. I worked there. And we found out very quickly, Brandon, that no matter what kind of seating you have, a Friday ticket is not always a, you know, something that people want. You know, they just, all you're going to do is come see practice. So what we did, long story short, was we decided we would invite kids and families from Mott's Children's Hospital and Helen DeBoss Children's Hospital to come in, and it was a home run. The drivers engaged the kids loved the sport, and the families got a chance to spend time together. And what that did was that created a thought in my head that how could I do this back home in West Michigan, in Grand Rapids, home to Helen DeBoss Children's Hospital. And so we created a race team and created a charity. And today, this is our 10th year. And we're just a little small town short track race team that races over here on the west side of the state at the Berlin Raceway. And in 9 years, we've raised $500,000, $500,000.
Incredible. That's awesome.
I don't even know how we've done it, to be honest with you, Brandon, but we have. All of our money goes to childhood cancer research, neuroblastoma, which is what we found a home for our money based on one of the kids that we met at Michigan. And that young lady is still a part of our race team today. There was a time in her life where we thought we were going to lose her, but we didn't. And today, a girl that showed up, this is a true story, Brandon. I know I'm taking more time than what you want. But
I thought I was taking your time. You are not taking mine.
Man,
you tell any story you want.
This is awesome. I will tell you that back in 09, I think, we were still holding on to a suite at the track. Even though we weren't sponsoring it, we had a young lady come in. I think at the time she was 11. Her name is Lexi Adgate. And the reason I can tell you that is because she wouldn't care, because she actually now drives today a full-blown sprint car.
That's awesome.
And the day she came in, she needed a blood transfusion, didn't know if she was going to live, and didn't want to be at the track. Hated the idea. But her mom and her dad wanted to take advantage of the free tickets and bring their family to the track. Well, Lexi and I got to become very close, a wonderful relationship. And she got the blood transfusion. All of our numbers on our race cars have a L. Any place that we have a number, you will see a L inside the number. And it stands for Lexi. And so anytime we're racing and we feel like we got cheated or we want to cuss and swear, throw anything, the objective is to remember the L in the number and what we're actually here for. And that is to raise money and raise awareness for, you know, childhood cancer. So the moral, or I guess the ending of that story, was that little girl who at the time was 11 and didn't want to be anywhere near a race car, today is studying to be a nurse and wants to work at Helen DeVos Children's Hospital. And on the weekends, she takes her 360 sprint car and goes and races around the state of Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio.
Man, that's an awesome story.
Oh, it's pretty cool, isn't it?
That is incredible. Cool. That's incredible. Man, that is awesome. And I can't think of a better way to end the Jeff Striegel fourth appearance on the Left Traffic Podcast. Jeff, tell everybody where they can follow you at on social media.
At Jeff Striegel, Striegle.
Fantastic.
And that's on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. And I'm not letting you go until you tell me who's going to win the Fire Keepers 400, because you and I are going to get a chance to come back and debate this next Tuesday. So who wins on Sunday?
All right. So I'm Homer, and I'm going Homer on this one. Everybody knows that, I am a fan of Kevin Harvick. It's funny, and I'll give you a short, long-winded story here. I was talking with my wife the other day, and I'm like, I was a Kevin Harvick fan before the podcast, so I'm a Kevin Harvick fan. But I am a fan of anybody that has shown support to the show. And I don't think I could have a new driver after Kevin Harvick retires, because my passion now is this podcast. And so I root for, anybody that's come on the show, like, man, I want to see them do well. But that said, that's my long-winded, but that said, I'm homering out. I got to see Kevin win twice. I'm pulling for him to win a third time and to get Stewart Haas Racing back in victory lane. So I'm going for the four, for the win.
I think that the four will be right there. I probably would have taken the four had you not.
Okay.
But because you have taken the four, I'm going to go sentimental and choose that driver out of Rochester Hills and in Brad Keselowski, who wants to win at Michigan more than I think anything in the world.
I think it has eaten him up that he does not have a cup win.
Yes. It is. He told me that if he wins at Michigan, get ready for a celebration. I think I'd like to be a part of that celebration on Sunday. So you take the four, I'll take the two. Obviously, they both will have to beat the 18 and the 19 come Sunday afternoon. But I think we're going to see something amazing. I think we are headed, Brandon, to, I'm just going to say it, I think we are looking at what could be one of the greatest races at Michigan that we have ever seen. With the new rules package, I think we're in for something special. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it on the show on Tuesday, but I think what we are going to see is going to have people talking on Monday at the water cooler. How's that?
Oh, I love it. And we're gonna end it on that. I love that.
There you go.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Jeff Striegel for coming on the show tonight. Jeff, I will see you this weekend at the track, and we will talk to you next week, man.
Got it, bud. Take care, Brandon. I'll see you in a couple days.
Sounds good, man. We'll see you. Lap Traffic Nation, are you kidding me right now? That was one of the best interviews, hands down, I think, ever on this show. That was so awesome. So much fun. Jeff Striegel, he's one of the most coolest people I have ever met doing this. And if you can't tell that we have some fun when we do this there, man, I don't know, man. And I know you enjoyed that. I know you did, because it was awesome. I had fun doing that. And you're in for another double dose of that next Tuesday when Jeff comes back on to recap MIS. I cannot wait for that. That said, You hear that lap traffic? That is some of the show sheets getting crumbled up there in the essence of time. Going to highly condense the Xfinity talk here. All I want to say about the Xfinity race, obviously, I was on the edge of my seat with Cole Custer and Tyler Reddick out there on the last restart there. I enjoyed the Xfinity race overall a little bit better than the Cup race, and I will say that from the strategy side of things. We saw strategy in both races play out. I think we saw it a little bit more and early on in the Xfinity race because the cautions came out so quickly. We had, what was it, three or four cautions before the first stage break, which I think added to that. You know, and I think what we saw really from a strategy standpoint was a road course there on an oval hashtag triangle race, which I think is really cool. You know, you've got your fuel mileage races, you got your short track races, you got your road course races, you got your strung out mile and a half races sometimes. But I think that strategy added to it for me because, you know, yeah, we got your 10-second leaders and all that kind of stuff. So to see the different strategy and watch that play out, who nailed it, who didn't nail it, you know, who gambled, you know, who all of that, I think, played into that for me a little bit more on Saturday than it did on Sunday. That said, Cole Custer won, and there's another show sheet getting crumbled up because we are just going to move right along over to social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Acast, Spreaker, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Don't forget about the giveaway at 3,500 Twitter followers. Guess what? Less than 50 to go, and I'm giving away that signed Richard Childress diecast to one lucky follower on Twitter. And speaking of followers on Twitter, time for some new follower shout outs. Jared at Jared3Devin from Kingsville, Texas, a racing junkie. Christina at Chrissy_Lee24 from SoCal, a nurse and Chase Elliott fan. And Andrew at Daddy Drewby from Kentucky, a NASCAR and motorsports fanatic. Welcome to the show, guys. Go check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, if you want a koozie, some stickers. Mailed some out this past week. I got a bunch to give away at MIS this weekend, which I'm ecstatic about. And if you missed it on Twitter, go check and scroll through the Lap Traffic timeline because I just posted some new art designs by Michael Jusk Unwitz. Go follow him at JuskUnwitz32. He did an awesome job on two different designs. Those are going to be making your way to some Lap Traffic t-shirts very, very soon. You might see both. You might get one on the front. There are so many possibilities. I cannot wait. I will get to work on those as soon as I get back from MIS. Big thanks to Andrew Kansian, who sent me a 164 diecast of Alex Bowman with the maize and blue logo on there. Appreciate that. Got a very late mail. I think Santa forgot it in his bag. I got a Christmas card from Timothy Triplett. Thank you very much for that. And I got the designs in the mail today. So there was a lot of mail coming into the Lapped Traffic P.O. box, which was awesome. Don't forget to check out the Support Autism link on the website. And go check out Big Heads Media at Big Heads Media. Here is a promo of one of the awesome podcasts you can hear on the Big Heads Media Network.
In a world where digital content barrels towards us at relentless breakneck speeds, where posts and memes and tweets and snaps rain down a punishing assault of attention-grabbing data, three heroic podcasters with a strong background in broadcast media are taking on the internet. Each week, we break down the trends, technology, and connections that are transforming our lives. We are Things I Found Online.
Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, if that wasn't a theatrical spot, go check out Things You Can Find Online along with the Lap Traffic Podcast on Big Heads Media. Awesome way for the show to get some new exposure. So happy to be a part of the Big Heads Media. All right. Business is done. It is time to queue up this week's weather report from Mr. Brian Newdorf. Fingers crossed, he is about to serve up an awesome forecast for MIS. He sent it this afternoon. This is the first time hearing it, so I got my hopes up. That's all I'm going to say.
Hello, Lap Traffic Nation. I'm meteorologist Brian Newdorf, known to many of you as the NASCAR weatherman or on social media at NASCAR underscore WXMAN. And we finish up the Pocono weekend, which many of you decided was not a very good or interesting race, at least not on television. Also, the threat of rain never materialized, but I would say that's not necessarily true. In fact, if you looked at my forecast, I was a lot more optimistic than most weather forecasts from apps to the National Weather Service all weekend long. In fact, I was going odds of racing above 60, and then I kind of finalized on 70 to 75% odds of racing. Like most, I did kind of mention the chance of a delay, which we never saw, which I was extremely happy about. But I had a lot of people leading up to the Pocono race sending me on Twitter telling me I was wrong. It was like Friday, Saturday, saying they should just move it to Monday. It's not going to happen. All the things are showing that the weather app is saying 90, 80% chance of rain. It's going to be wet. It's a washout. We shouldn't even bother. I was wrong for going 60, 70 to 75% odds of racing. Well, we raced and we didn't have any rain. This is why a human element of a forecast is very, very important. And I look at everything and I give you the information based on what I see. I'm glad people listened to me and at least went to the race. Now, I didn't tell anybody they should or should not go. I can't tell you that. All I can do is present the information as is and in hopes that the fans will make an informed decision. So you'll hear myself, probably even when Aaron was doing weather, our disdain sometimes for weather apps, forecast apps, because it's a model spitting out data. One model spitting out data or an algorithm, whereas a human looks at all those algorithms, looks at all those models, takes that information based on experience and puts out a forecast. And we give a little leeway for some models that are wrong, some models that are right, and what's going on. So hopefully it was a good weekend. He didn't get washed out. That was the beauty part of it. But, you know, give me a chance to be wrong. If you're not liking my forecast, let me be wrong first before you tell me I'm actually wrong. And for those of you who were able to get to the race and got to watch it and didn't have to worry about rain, you're welcome. I had nothing to do with keeping it away, but I felt pretty cautiously optimistic with that 70 to 75% odds of racing, and that actually, in my opinion, verified. As far as the Pocono racing, a lot of you did not like it. From the polls that I'm seeing online, I only caught the end of it. It seemed like a normal Pocono race for me. Kyle Busch won. That seems to be about the summation of it. Is it an exciting race? Probably not. It has that history, and I wasn't blown away by anything. There were some replays I saw where some early restarts on the turns were kind of exciting, but there's just long straightaways, and outside of those three turns, you know, you're not going to get much excitement. So I don't know. It seems to be a staple, and next year we're going to have a doubleheader, two races in a row there in Pocono for the Monster Energy Cup Series. Now, as we look ahead to the Irish Hills of Michigan, weather-wise, it starts off mostly dry. I think Friday and Saturday are absolutely perfect days. Lots of sunshine, not too hot. I've been there for a couple of hot ones and even rainy ones. But we will be seeing temperatures in the upper 70s to near 80 degrees both Friday and Saturday. Sunday actually now looks like a mix of sunshine and clouds. The really only big concern is I'm starting to see a trend in the models to bring in some precipitation. They're not consistent on its location. Some comes in from the south, some comes in from the west, but it wants to bring in something Sunday afternoon. I'm going to go odds of racing for Sunday, 80%, partly sunny, and I'm going to mention a chance of an afternoon shower or possible thunderstorm, but I wouldn't deviate from your race day plans, and we'll have no more tomorrow and especially on Thursday as we get closer to the event. Having fun doing these, you can always check me out on social media. That is mostly on Twitter, at NASCAR underscore WXMAN. Or, for those of you, Patreon is freed in the second half of the week leading up to the race forecast. The only thing we really have is our first look. So check me out, Patreon, Race Weather. Actually, Race Weatherman, that's what it is. I think it's Race Weatherman over on Patreon. So give us a shout out and check there. Of course, Twitter's your best bet, and I have a Facebook page. Same thing, NASCAR underscore WXMAN. I am meteorologist Brian Newdorf for Lap Traffic, and thank you guys once again for having me on this week.
Can you guys tell he does that for a living, folks? Wow, that's awesome. Brian Newdorf, thank you so much for the 80%. I will take 80%. I'm a gambling man. I will take 80% all day. If I wasn't pumped before, I am very pumped now to get to the track. Brian, thank you so much. Make sure you follow Brian on Twitter at NASCAR underscore WXMAN. Thank you for that awesome weather report. Dogs are barking. You know what time it is. It is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks of the Race Weekend.
It's time to see who you guys voted for the lucky dog and lap down picks from Pocono. You guys know the drill. After the race, you can tweet your lucky dog and lap down picks. I'll play and read them back. Feel free to call the Wave Around hotline and leave your picks there, 248-965-9538. All right. My lucky dog of the race weekend was the Xfinity finish. How could it not be? Tyler Riddick takes the lead. Cole Custer gets it back out of the final turn and brings home the checkered flag. Absolutely. My lap down, Kevin Harvick. Beating yourself, brother. Come on, man. Let's get it done this weekend at MIS. All right. Over to the tweeted responses. David at DFlint14's lucky dog, Bubba Wallace, quietly ran well today. Having a new source of sponsorship is great. Lap down, I've got two. Harvick crew for screwing up the money stop again, and this package for taking the one thing that made racing here good, the impact of the draft. Mick at GoDucks42_Mix, lucky dog Kyle Busch had all the right moves. Lap down, Larson is his own worst enemy. Clayton at Joey Logano Fan22's lucky dog is Kyle Busch, had a fast car all race. Lap down, Kyle Larson, not running well this season. Brett at BWayne8589's lucky dog Kyle Busch had a rocket, couldn't be touched. Lap down, Harvick crew, they got to be perfect in a situation. He had a great car. Mike at Odell_Michaels, lucky dog Kyle Busch with the win. Lap down, Harvick, power steering issue, and Martin Truex Jr. going from the penthouse to the outhouse. I like that one. That's funny. Eddie at EG3_FastEddie's lucky dog, the finish to the Xfinity race between Custer and Riddick. Couldn't agree more. That was quite the battle there. More to come from these guys. Lap down, Larson finding the wall yet again, costing himself a top 10. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR Fans, lucky dog, Custer starting to remind us he's ready for Cup. Lap down, Larson. He just keeps stepping on his own you know what. John at Dean Ader's lucky dog, pit strategy, honestly, was the only interesting part of the race. Lap down, passing two laps after the restart. We're following the leader wherever he may go. You put that with some musical quotes. I'm not singing, sir, but appreciate it. All right, those are your tweeted responses. Let's get to your calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon. It's Kathleen. At KHI Fan. The Pocono Cup race this weekend was not the greatest, but I'm not going to go on a tangent and say that it was the worst race ever. When you have pretty good racing every week, you're bound to have one that's not so good. So I will accept that and move on to Michigan. The Xfinity race, though, was pretty good. I've been noticing lately that the Xfinity races, even when the Cup race is great, that the Xfinity have been just maybe a tick better than the Cup race, which is pretty exciting. Out of the three series, Xfinity was always my last in my line of favorites. But they've been pretty good, and that's promising. I'm going to give my lucky dog this week, got to give it to Cole Custer, with the way he took that spot back at the end of the race and got the win for it. That was really fun to watch. And I have to give my lap down to the 14. They got that penalty, which was bad enough, but they probably could have overcome it if not for the other couple of issues that occurred, and it pretty much ended their day. So that was pretty disappointing what happened with that. Anywho, that's all I got for now. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Kathleen, that's why we get along so well. We are on the same page across the board. Xfinity has been awesome as of late. With you on Custer, and I'm with you on Harvick. Can't wait to hear your call next week after we get to Michigan. And let's get to our other call on the Waiver on Hotline from Mr. Andrew Kantzian.
What's up, Brandon? Just getting back from Pocono now. What a day, man. It's always a good time to go to the race. I don't get to go to too many a year, one or two if I'm lucky. So you know, got to see I thought it was a solid race. I haven't seen the Twitter mob angry because I really haven't opened it, but they're probably angry. You know, it's always different when you get to watch a race in person. You get to watch whatever you want to watch and not what the TV, you know, broadcast is showing. So, it's a good time. In terms of the race, Kyle Busch, what can you say about that? Well, there's nothing really to say about the guy. The guy's good. We know that. He won again. I had something else to say, and I'm throwing really major blanks right now, but that's all right. No. Overall, it was a really frustrating day for Mr. Larson. Hit the wall again late in the day. Just no luck at all. Sometimes it just brought upon itself. Looked like he chopped Boyer. You got to finish races, man, if you want to be there at the end in the playoffs. So if you're going to keep driving a little over-aggressively like that, it's just not going to happen for him. Too close to the edge as it is. With how bad his teammate, Kurt Busch, was dreadful today. I don't know where he got a solid finish out of it, but, man, that car was evil. He was getting past by all the buttholes on that first run there. And so I'm going to put Ganassi a lap down this week, and Lucky Dog is going to be Eric Jones, who really had a good day. He needed that because, you know, now he's above the cutoff line, which, you know, it's getting chop time for these guys in terms of the playoffs. It's kind of now or never. It's the more guys you have to start winning to, you know, break up the little trio that's won, you know, three and four races. You know, we'll see. The race to the playoffs is on. And have fun in Michigan next week, man.
Mr. Andrew Kantian, thank you so much for calling in. I love when, obviously I love when you call in, but I especially love when people are calling on their way home from the race. That's happened a few times this year. I love that. Glad you were able to go and have a great time. Thank you again for the 164 that you sent. That's awesome. That's added to the collection for sure. And I cannot wait for your call next week after Michigan. I love the interaction that you guys have with the show. It's fantastic. And to keep on with that, it's time for a little fantasy, folks. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time to almost close this thing out. Can't do that without hitting fantasy first. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction up. That's so much fun to watch. And this is going to be a very fun fantasy segment. 2 weeks in a row, MOATF last week. This week, he's back. Mr. Aaron Studwell, what's up, sir?
Just when I thought I was out, I get pulled back in again.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you were like the fourth or fifth pick for tonight.
I know, but and I did ask. I did ask.
So as you all know, I tried to get the leader on the line, and there's actually a two-way tie after week one of segment two, and both guys were unavailable. Mick Rose was unavailable. I'm like, well, I got to get a guest picker going into MIS. Who? I mean, I'm literally like, oh, who could I get? Oh, hey, Aaron Studwell.
Well, that's just because you went by alphabetical last name. It's just I get down to the S's.
Pretty much, right? Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well. Getting ready to move. But other than that, life's good.
Fantastic. So let's recap a little fantasy here. So let's see. Segment two, just a reminder, everybody, is 14 races from this or 14 weekends, I should say, from this past weekend at Pocono. It'll run through Indy. We had 15 players pick Cole Custer and 13 players picked Kyle Busch. Sir, you were one of the 15 that picked Cole Custer, but you were not one of the 13 to pick Kyle Busch.
No, I had a very strong pick for my cup pick until about 30 to go, was it?
Yeah, somewhere around there, you know.
And then the steering pump decided to give out, and now he wound up, I believe, 22nd?
Yeah, well, hey, so here's this. I'll give you something to hang your head on. You still beat me. You know, I had what I thought was a decent first round, first weekend to kick off segment two. I had Christopher Bell, who actually rebounded, and I think he finished fifth. And I had Chase Elliott, who finished in the top five or six there. I'm like, oh, this should be pretty good. But because they didn't get any stage points, you know, I'm chiming in at 73. So I'm in the hole already, but that's nothing new.
Hey, I'm ahead of the part of the field that's submitting picks. That's all I'm hoping for.
Right. Yes. If I get lapped because people not submitting picks are still ahead of me, I got a problem. Let's see. This week's high was 106 by Dustin Mabin and Evan Van Beelen with their picks of Brad Keselowski and Cole Custer. Second place was 102 by Eddie, Eric, and John with their picks of Brad and Tyler Reddick. We've already recapped our picks. So now that we're into segment two, I will typically have the top 10 for you for segment two and the top five for the cumulative. But if I were to read off the top 10, it would basically be the whole league. So I've cut it down to the top three because there are so many ties to kick off the segments early here. So in first with 106 points is Dustin Mabin and Evan Van Beelen. And we've got a 1-2-3-4-way tie for second with 102 points with Eddie Greer, Eric Malcolm, John Entwistle. And then let's see, we've got 1-2-3-4 in third with 96 with David James, David Mullins, Lisa Chinana, and Robert Keplinger. So as it spreads out, I will read more of those. And then over to the cumulative standings. In first, your segment one leader, Greg Whited with 1,448. Rob Keplinger is keeping it close in second with 1,401. In third with 1,364 is Matt Crowd. In fourth with 1,357 is Ted Anderson. And a two-way tie for fifth in the cumulative standings with Jess Rose and the MOATF podcast with 1,354. Sir, what'd you think of the racing this past weekend there at Pocono?
I was going to say I was listening really close, and I just maybe I missed my name, or
picks. I mean, you're I think fourth, 14th, somewhere around that. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, 24th, got a four in it. I picked somebody with a four on their car.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you think that would have been worked?
I don't know. I was a little underwhelmed by the racing. It reminded me of the past couple of years that. I heard a good quote. It's like, you could have taken a 20th place car, but if you put them out front, nobody's going to pass them.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know, hey, strategy was the name of the game this weekend, that's for sure.
And there's a place for that in racing, and there's a place for that. I mean, you look at the Michigan race coming up here, it winds up being a fuel mileage race more often than not, but that wasn't even the strategy we were looking at. It's just like two-tire, four-tire. A lot more people, and just stick on the strategy side real quick, a lot more people went to pit road right before the stage breaks.
Yes.
Than I remember, and setting it up, and is almost, I think it was Gordon made the analogy that they're, and this has been done before too, though, that they're working it backwards. They're working like a road course.
Yeah, they're backing their way into their final strategy, their final stop, basically.
Right.
Yep. So this weekend, before we get into it, you've kind of got a tie to both locations, Trucks in Texas, which is where you currently reside, and yes. Xfinity and Cup in Michigan, where you went to school.
Yeah. Lived in Michigan for 6-7 years total, and I've been in Texas for 26 years. I've been to both tracks, enjoy both tracks, good staff, good facilities. Definitely got to get back up there and
I gotta meet you. yes we are long overdue for an alcoholic beverage.
And I believe they are served in MIS.
Yeah, they are. Yeah last I checked,
I might actually be where that makes you work.
All right, sir, what do you say we make some picks?
I am ready.
All right. Lap Traffic Nation, I am headed to the Irish Hills this weekend in MIS, where last year it was all Stuart Haas Racing. Clint Bowyer picked up the rain-shortened win in June, and Kevin Harvick picked up his second win at MIS. Can either of those two get things going for Stuart Haas Racing this weekend in Ford's backyard? What about Kyle Larson, also struggling as of late? But he, too, has seen some success at MIS, winning three in a row from August 17 to August 17. Can he pick up his first win and put the stamp on hashtag Chevy is back? Here's an interesting note. Toyota only has one win since they swept MIS in 2011, and that came in August 2015 by Matt Kenseth. Can they keep up their winning ways and pick up a win at MIS? Who claims manufacturer supremacy in the Motor City? We will find out this Sunday. But first, it is time for our picks. Sir, I'll let you kick it off with the Truck Series.
Oh, right in my own backyard. I'm going with Mr. Johnny Sauter.
Johnny Sauter, solid pick there, sir. I am going to try to like shake things up as much as I can here. I am going with Mr. Stuart Friesen. All right, over to the Xfinity Series, sir. Who do you got?
I'm going to play off your Stuart Friesen. I'm going with a cold custard. Oh, wait a minute. Cole Custer.
Ooh. So, all right. That's who I got as well. I got Cole Custer going back to back. I hope I'm not a curse for you there, sir.
Oh, I'm thinking I'm the curse on this one. I'm not so sure. And we just might have to apologize to Cole Custer in advance.
Right. And over to the Cup race. Who do you have, sir?
I'm going to have the Ford Power, Penske Power, running up front. That'd be Mr. Brad Keselowski with a hometown win.
Brad Keselowski going for his first Cup win at MIS. I'm going early. It's early, right? So I'm going Harvick for the win. I'm taking the chance on this one. He won in August. He picks up the June win and kicks things off for Stuart Haas Racing.
Well, you know, Stuart Haas does have that tendency to pick up things during the summer, and you know, that might be the right time for him. Are you breaking out the hashtag Harvick for the win?
Harvick for the win. You got it. All right, guys.
There we go.
Thanks so much for calling in there, sir. I appreciate it. And hey, who knows? Maybe we'll talk to you soon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. That is going to be a wrap for episode 130 of Lap Traffic Podcast. I had so much fun with this one. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes or Podbean, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Go check out Freddie the Pizza Man's Autism Charity Link on the website. Contest, less than 50 followers to go on Twitter. Go follow at Lap Traffic PC. Big thanks to Jeff Striegel, Brian Newdorf, and Aaron Studwell for calling into the show tonight. Time to pack this thing up, take it on the road. I will see you at MIS. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!